Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And let's go to verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says this: "And this is the confidence that we have in Him." How many knows that we could say, change that word confidence to faith? But this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, everybody say anything.
Anything.
Notice that. A lot of times, folks, you know, we try to limit God. But here's what John says. John says, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, see, here's the thing. Religion will tell you, well, you know now, brother, that's only if it's the Lord's will. Right? You know, and they'll pray, you know, Lord, if it be Thy will and all that. Listen, God's Word is God's will. So what He's saying here, what John's trying to tell us, if we ask anything according to the Word, He hears us. Well, how do we know that? Because the Bible says that He watches over His Word to hasten it. You see, God's looking for you and I to pray by His Word, to speak out His Word, believe His Word. So He says, if we ask anything according to His will or according to His Word, He hears us. Now listen to this. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Man, that's a big thing to say, isn't it? But you see, here's the thing. John knew that there was no limit to God. And he didn't try to limit it. And he didn't look at God through the eyes of our finiteness. He looked at God as through the eyes of infiniteness. In other words, nothing is too big for God. So he says you can ask Him anything according to the Word, and don't matter what you ask, you know that He heard you if you ask it according to the Word, and you know that you already have it. Now here's the thing. When we look at this, we got to understand that when we ask, sometimes the answer doesn't come immediately. Okay? Now we got to believe it immediately. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them," right? "And you shall have them when you pray." But you know, when it doesn't happen immediately, what you and I got to do is we got to stay in faith. We cannot back down. We cannot pull down from what we're believing God for. If we've asked according to this Word, then we know that it's His will. And we know if it's in the Word, He's already said yes to it. Now, just because there's a delay, that doesn't change anything, because God's still faithful. You just have to stay faithful till you see the manifestation. Let me show you some things. Go with me over here to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 18. And let's look at verse 40. We're going to start about 41. But this is where Elijah has called the prophets of Baal up to the mountain. And he says, we're just going to see whose God is God. And the God that answers by fire, He'll be God. And if you remember, He allowed the 450 prophets of Baal. We're looking at chapter 19, right? Is that what I told you? 18. I'm sorry, 18:41. And he tells the prophets of Baal, whoever the God that answers by fire, He's going to be God. And so He lets them go first, and they yell and holler and cut themselves, and Elijah makes fun of him, and then he goes ahead and dresses up the altar, pours water everywhere, and then he just says, God, show them who's God. And God licks up the water, the dust, the Bible says, with fire. So He answers, and then Elijah says, I want you to go ahead, gather up all those prophets, take them down, and they slew them. They killed them. Why? Because they were all false prophets, all against God. And then here in verse 41, we'll pick it up. And Elijah said to Ahab, understand Ahab was king, probably the most wicked king ever in Israel. And part of that reason was because of his wife, because she was probably the most wicked woman in the Word of God, Jezebel. But he goes on and he says this, Elijah said to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat, to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Now, right there, let me just stop there for just a second. See, right there is where most Christians quit. Okay, now notice that he told him, he said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I'm going to tell you something. Elisha did not physically hear the sound of abundance of rain. He's speaking out faith. He's calling those things that be not as though they were. Remember now, Elijah's the one that's caused this drought. They've been in a drought 3.5 years. And Elijah's the one said, it's not going to rain till I say so. And it didn't rain. There's a great famine going on. Now he comes back and he says, hey, I believe I'm hearing some rain. You better get ready, Ahab. I believe I'm hearing some rain. So he goes up there and he gets down and he begins to pray and he tells his servant, said, go look. And the servant comes back and says, there's nothing. There's nothing. See, just because it didn't happen when you thought it would happen, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Right? So what's Elisha do? He says, go look again. And again. And again. And again. 7 times he had him go look. What's Elijah do? He's not giving up. He's not quitting. He spoke out his faith. He's believing God. He's asked God. And now he's expecting God. See, that's the trouble. Sometimes we think, well, you know, maybe not. God's not going to do it. He knew God would do it. So he just kept sending his servant back. I believe if he had to do it 50 times, he'd have sent him 50 times. But on the 7th time, the servant comes back and he said, I saw a cloud like the size of a man's hand. How many know that's not a very big cloud? You know what Elisha does? So you better go tell Ahab to get down because he'd get ready. And then the Bible says it just starts to get black. And the storm clouds roll in. And it begins to rain. And Ahab gets on his chariot and he heads back. And God empowers Elijah then with the anointing of God. And he outruns the chariot. Well, how could he do that? Because he believed God, church. And he didn't let delay keep him from receiving what he wanted to receive from God. See, just because it didn't happen immediately for Elijah, he didn't quit. A lot of folks want to quit just because they don't see it happen. They'll pray for finances and go to the mailbox, and the next day, if there's no money there, they'll say, well, it must not have been the Lord's will. No, if I'm believing God and I have a reason to believe God for something, I'm going to stand there, and if I have to go to the mailbox every day for a year, I'm going to the mailbox expecting to check every time I go. Come on now. If I'm expecting my healing, I'm expecting it all the time. Never quit expecting it. You know what? God's already said yes to it. It's just time for the manifestation to come. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we have an effect on our healing. Don't get mad at me now. But sometimes we do. Now, when a miracle, that's another thing. That's an instantaneous thing from God. But when it comes to healing, sometimes we affect that. Come on now, it's things that we do when we don't do it. God expects you and I to do what we're supposed to do with our body. Don't get mad at me now, but it's true. That's most of us, the reason we have the problems we have is because of us. Now, I understand that Satan can attack you, and he does attack all the time, but he doesn't have any right to attack. Come on. Right? So what we have to do is we have to understand that it's already on its way. God's already said yes to your healing. He's already said yes to your wellness, your wholeness, right? Already said yes to your finances. Come on. He's already said yes to you enjoying and having a good life. Come on. He's already said yes to these things. And if we're not living in it, if it's being delayed, then we can't quit believing God for it. We still have to stand in faith until the manifestation comes. Here's what you've got to always remember is that your best days are ahead of you. Why? How can you say that, Pastor? I mean, I'm getting older. How can I be? Because you know more about God now than you ever did. And you know how to use your faith more now than you ever did know how to use your faith. So you keep using your faith and you're going to have better days. Come on. You read the Word of God, you'll find out that most of these guys were old when God was started using them. Now, He did use some of them young. But also, if you look back at some of our founders of faith, you know, Smith Wigglesworth never even began his ministry till he was 60 years old. And I don't know exactly how many documented people he raised from the dead, but it was a bunch. Anybody remember how many it was? It's a bunch. You know, he went into the funeral home one time, put everybody out. The guy's in the casket, gets him out of the casket, throws him up against the wall and says, live. And guess what he does? He hits the floor. You know what? Most people would have quit there, right? Picked him up, throwed him against the wall, said, I said live. Hit the floor. Picked him up the third time, throwed him up against the wall, said, I said in the name of Jesus, live. And then walked out of the funeral home with him. Come on now, see, we go, whoa. That's our God. And he told you what? Heal the sick, raise the dead. Oh, come on now. See, it gets quiet. Here's the thing. You've got to believe God will do it. No matter what it is. Because you've got to understand, nothing is too hard for God. And anything in the Word He said you can do, you can do. And I mean, you know, if we believe we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, then we have to believe that we can raise the dead. I know that's a deep subject and people get... Now, do I believe that there are certain times and specific things there, that the way the Spirit has to move there? Of course. I don't think you just walk into a funeral home and raise people from the dead. I think God speaks to your spirit and there's... I believe that's where the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, and it's going to take a special faith. It's going to take gifts of healing in operation and working of miracles. Those have got to be working. They've got to be operating because those are good. Because it ain't you doing it. You've got to understand that. And that's where people get messed up. Well, you can't do that. No, I can't. But the Holy Ghost can. And if He wants it done, it will be done if we'll be obedient. And that's true of everything. And so you've got to understand that's one thing. But operating by faith is another thing. See, operating by faith is how God wants us to live our everyday lives. And so when we're believing God for something, then we have to stay in faith and we can't let a little delay cause us to back off from what we're believing God for. Look over with me in the book of Daniel here. This is familiar to you. It should be. Daniel chapter 10. With Elijah, it was delayed, but it still rained, right? In Daniel chapter 10, we'll read it. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. Now notice this. The thing is true, but the time appointed is long. That messes with us because we're very impatient. The thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent, and when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Now notice here, Daniel is praying, he's understanding some things, but then he sees some other vision, and he's seeking after God, he's trying to get an answer, he wants to find out what it all means, and that's when the angel appears to him. And when the angel appears to him, he tells him, he says, listen, from the very first day, From the very first day that you set your face toward God, position God, begin to petition God, I was sent with your answer. But I had a problem. There was an adversary there that was trying to stop me from coming. But Michael came. And I stayed there. And I'm here with your answer. 21 days later. 21 days of praying and fasting. We can't get people to fast all day. Come on. I just got one amen there. Praying and fasting. Notice that. 21 days. And then the angel shows up with the answer. We've got to learn, folks, that delay is not denial. Just because he didn't get the answer immediately didn't mean he didn't have the answer, because God sent the answer immediately. It just didn't manifest itself till 21 days later. You've got to understand, sometimes there's delay. Okay? You cannot get discouraged because you don't have the answer yet, because you've got to understand that God wants you to know these things. When you're seeking God about something, He wants you to understand it. He wants you to know. If you need an answer from God, He wants to give you that answer. Now, I'm not going to tell you all the time it'll be the answer you want to hear. Come on. Whether we like it or not, there are things that God says no about. Now, you know, if it's His Word, it's His will. But see, there's sometimes we're petitioning God about things that affects us personally, you know, and God will tell us, no, that's not the route I want to go for you, because there's a pitfall there. And He's going to help you to avoid that pitfall by telling you no. Right? How many of you remember raising your kids? You told them no, not because you didn't love them. You told them no, not because you didn't want them to have it. But you tell them no so because you didn't want them to get hurt. Why? Because you knew better than they did. How many knows God knows better than we do? So you can't get mad when there's delay. You can't get mad if God says no. You just keep on staying in faith, because God wants you to be able to be blessed. Now, I'll show you one more, and we'll look at it. Go with me over to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Now, I'm not going to read all this for just sake of time, but this is the story of Jesus. He's with His disciples, and a messenger comes and says, "Lazarus, whom thou lovest, he's sick, and they want you to come." And the Bible says that Jesus tarried for 2 whole days there. And He tells His disciples, says, "Okay, we're going to go over and we're going to see Lazarus because he's sleeping." You know, the disciples, they say, "Well, you know, Lord, if he's sleeping, then he's doing good." How many knows you heal in your sleep? Sleep is part of a healing process. And so they said, "If he's sleeping, he's doing good." Jesus said, no, he's dead. So we got to go. And so they go over and they come over to where Lazarus is at. And when they get over and start coming in, then Martha hears that Jesus is coming. Now, the Bible teaches and tells us that it's been 4 days now that he's been dead. And so here comes Martha, and the first thing she does is what? "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." You know. "But I know even now," you know, "whatever you say." And Jesus said, "Well, you know, your brother's going to live." And she says, "Yeah, Lord, I know he's going to live in the resurrection." Isn't that the way most people are? See, she's putting it out there now, you know, bringing it in with everybody else. He says, "No, didn't I tell you before? I am the life. I am the life. If you believe me, it's going to happen." I'm paraphrasing, okay? And the Bible says then here comes Mary later on. And once again, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." You know, and apparently Mary was kind of one of those. Have you ever been to a funeral home and see the difference in people? You have those that are stern, those that they know how to handle death, and they can, you know, yes, they're sad, yes, they're grieving just as much as anybody else, and you know, but then you have those that are there and they just fall apart. And you say, "Well, what's wrong with falling apart?" Well, if you're truly a child of God, and the person you lost is a child of God, then there's not a reason to fall apart. Now, yes, it doesn't mean you don't grieve, don't mean you don't miss them. It just means that you have an understanding that they're going to a better place. But apparently Mary was one of those that needed some extra attention. Because if you study, you find out that all the people was hanging around her. The grievers were hanging around her. You professional grievers, you ever seen them in the funeral homes? You'll see them. I'll tell you how you can notice them. They always try to find a family member, and they'll get a hold of their neck, and then they'll just start shaking, trying to stir up the family member. They're going through enough. They don't need that nonsense. Don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good right now. You know, that's the same ones that holds up the whole line when it's time to leave out of the funeral home. Everybody walking by, they're the ones that will stop there and try to tear up the family as much as they can. Stop that. I don't believe there's anybody here doing it, but there are people watching. You're not helping the family when you do that. They're going through a hard enough time. They need you to be strong with them. If everybody's falling apart, who's going to stand up? Martha was the tough one. Now, I know she gets a lot of heat because, you know, she's saying, Lord, make my sister help me. You know, make her help me. And then the Lord says she's chosen that good thing and it won't be taken from her. But if you study the thing out, you find out Martha was, she was the worst. She needed salvation. She needed to be saved. She needed the Lord in her life more. Did I say Martha? I meant Mary. Mary was the one. Martha, she was tough. And so the Lord says she needs this. And so he comes with her to Jesus. Oh, if you'd have been here, my brother hadn't died. And they're all weeping and crying. And Jesus looks around. Guess what Jesus does? Jesus wept, but he also got angry. He also was disturbed about it because he realized he wasn't weeping because they was weeping. He was not weeping because of Lazarus. He was weeping because of all the unbelief that was there around him right at that point. Because he had told Mary the same thing he told Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so he says, show me where they've laid him. And he takes him over there. And they walk up to the tomb, and now they're saying, well, you know, Lord, he's been 4 days dead by now. He's stinking. And the Lord says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. He said, roll the stone away. Here comes Lazarus out of the tomb. You know, there's a lot of controversy about how he got out of the tomb. He's wrapped head and foot, because the Lord says, unwrap him, let him go. I'm adding a little here. I believe the Spirit of God just floated him out of that place. Now, I don't know that for a fact. Either that or he had to come hopping, right? Because they always wrapped him, you know, in the burial clothes and all that. But here's what I want you to see in this. Jesus delayed his coming. But it didn't stop the result. Did you hear me? Even though there was delay. Now let me just help you with something here. There was a delay on purpose in this situation. Jesus purposely waited 2 days for Lazarus to die before he came. Well, that seems like a mean God, don't it? That seems pretty mean. Why didn't he just go over there and heal him? Because Jesus need to let the glory of God be seen there. Because if you read on, you'll find out because of all that happened, it said, then many believed now. Got a bunch of people saved. Made a bunch of people believers. Sometimes delay is on purpose so that the glory of God can be revealed. Let me ask you something. What is more dramatic and what draws more attention for somebody to say, well, I had a skin cancer on my cheek and I had it cut out. Right? Well, thank God. Or somebody to say, they've got third stage cancer. They got just a little while left to live. There's nothing else the doctors can do. Now, which one of those healings do you think is going to draw more attention? Of course, the big one. You know, for you to say, well, I had a spot on my jaw and I believe God and it's gone. It's gone. Well, you know, for you, that's just as big as something. But for those that are watching, see, people need to understand that our God is still a healing God. And sometimes the delay, how many knows that God raising from somebody from the deathbed is going to draw more attention and spread the news of the gospel more than you believe in God for a place on you. Right? See, so, and it's not that God did it. God didn't do that to Lazarus. But He allowed him to die so that he could come there and show the power of God to the people and they began to believe. Matter of fact, you know, at this time, Jesus is on the earth. Most of the people that followed Jesus around were following Him around to see the miracles. Right? That's what they hear about the miracles, and they come to see miracles, and they follow Him around because of the miracles, and they became believers because of miracles. And so this is one of the greatest miracles that He ever did. And so they said it, and many's believing now. So understand once again, even though He delayed getting there, the result was the same. You better get a hold of that. Just because your answer's delayed, realize the result's going to be the same. It might not happen when you think it ought to happen. It might not happen the way you think it's going to happen. But it's going to happen just exactly like God wants it to happen. And it'll be good. Because God don't do nothing bad. Every good and perfect gift, right, comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All of it comes from the Heavenly Father. And so, no matter what it is you're asking God for, if there's delay, don't get discouraged. Mary and Martha had both kind of been, you know, they was at the point, if you'd have been here. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God will be there. God will show up for you, right? I'll give you that to you in Scripture so you can see it. John 11:45 says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen things which Jesus did, believed on Him. See, they just came for Mary there so they could weep with Mary because they knew Mary, knew the family, all that. But when they got there, Jesus showed them the power of God and they believed on the name of God. Now, again, a lot of times the delay is to magnify the manifestation. Just remember that. God may be going to do that to you. Now, listen to this. No matter what the problem is or how long it's been since you asked God for help, it's not over. It's not over. You've got to realize that God is still working on your behalf. It don't matter how old you are, how young you are. Don't matter. I don't care if you asked Him for something 3 years ago. You know, I used to ask the Lord for that all the time. Well, quit asking Him for it all the time. Start believing Him for it now. Believe Him for the manifestation. Believe Him for the answer. I was listening to a preacher preach one time. He said, I've heard people say that you only pray once about anything. How's that working out for you? And I thought to myself, it works pretty good for me, but it's not going to work for you because you don't believe it. See, I don't believe in praying over and over about the same thing. And I don't believe the Bible teaches us. I believe the Bible teaches us when we ask, we believe, and then we receive. Now you say, well, what if there's that delay you're talking about? Then that's where you water. That's where you water with praise. Thank you, Lord. I believed I received my healing 3 years ago, and I thank you, Lord, I'm the healed of God today. Thank you, Father, for my manifestation. You just keep praising God, having faith. You don't say, well, Lord, I don't know. I'm going to ask you again in case you didn't hear, because He's not hard to hear. If you asked according to the Word, the Bible says He heard you. He heard you. Your answer's on the way. Your manifestation's on the way. Don't give up on it. Don't start double talking and asking again, because that means apparently you didn't believe the first time. Come on now. Now, you know, you see, a lot of times you hear about prayer chains and that kind of thing. And don't get me wrong, it's wonderful when people get together and pray about something. But you know, if you're believing God for something, and every time you get around somebody, you tell them and say, well, I want you to pray about this for me. No. What you need to do, if you want to get in a bunch of people, getting them all together, here's what you do. Say, listen, I'm believing God for my healing. All I want you to do is praise God with me for my healing. Get them into praising with you, not asking again, because you've already asked. Come on, you should have asked in faith. You should have believed God. Just because there's delay don't mean it's not on its way. You have to understand that. People so many times, they get to the place to where if it's delay, they want to give up and they want to quit and they want to say, well, you know, maybe it just wasn't to be. Yes, it is to be. If I've asked God for something, it shall come to pass. Why? Because I believe the Word. And I don't believe God's a man that He can lie, because the Word says He's not. Right? God's not lying. He's telling you the truth. And by His stripes, you were healed. He was made poor so that you could become rich. Come on, somebody. He said, I came that you could have life and have it more abundantly. Those are all promises that God has not changed His mind about. Now, the world and the church world, a lot of the folks, the religious folks, they don't believe any of that. But that's okay. They can believe what you have, what you believe for. Come on now. They can believe whatever they want to believe. Other day, I was out on the lake. Started thundering. I said, in Jesus' name, storm, you got to go. Guess what? Rain this way, rain this way, rain that way. Not on us. And you say, well, yeah, you know, that you believe what you want to believe. I've learned from experience that my God cares. Come on now. I've learned this. I've learned that I have power and authority on earth. I've learned that in the name of Jesus. Now, not me, but through the name of Jesus. You understand when I say that, because people say, oh, either. No. By myself, I'm nothing, but I have the Spirit of God in me. You have the Spirit of God in you. And that's the same Spirit in you that created everything that you see. You have that power in you. And yes, we are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He says, the things I've done, you can do also. And even greater. Well, you know, I mean, I read where Jesus said, peace be still and peace be still. Right? Right? He told the storm, you quit. And the storm quit. And the seas calmed. Come on. Now, you know, I understand that there are natural cycles of weather. We understand that. But man's messing with weather. And when man starts messing with weather, that means the devil's got his hand in on it. And when the devil's got his hand on something, guess what? I have authority over the devil. Jesus gave you and I power over all the power of the enemy. So that gives us an authority to be able to handle some of those situations that are man-made or devil-made or whatever. The storm that Jesus stilled was not a natural storm. It was a storm contrived of the devil to try to take Jesus out before He ever got to the other side over there to heal that crazy man, or possessed man, I should say. Right? The one with 2,000 devils in him that He cast out. He was trying to stop him from getting to the other side. That was His plan. Let's wipe him out now before anything else happens. But no, Jesus said, stop. And it stopped. About time for you and I to start looking and saying, stop. See, here's the thing. Now that we understand that we have power and authority, the Bible says that we can pull down strongholds. Do you hear me? See, it could be the thing that's holding up your answer is a stronghold that you need to pull down. So sometimes when that answer ain't come through there, what you need to do, it's not because God said no, it's because you need to say, in the name of Jesus, whatever spiritual force is holding back my promise, holding back my answer, in the name of Jesus, I bind you now and I command you to let it go. Loose it. Thank you, angels, for bringing it forth in Jesus' name. Because we think it's delayed, we don't, Alice, it's just not. Sometimes it's the enemy trying to hold it back. But understand, too, that you have angels you can give charge to. The Bible says they're ministering spirits for us, waiting on you. They're waiting on you. You're the heir of salvation. They're waiting for you to open up your mouth and say, all right, the delay's over. Come on. I send out the angels. I love how Dad Hagin used to talk about money. He'd say, whenever he was going to one of his meetings, he'd say, Lord, I need this amount of money to pay the bills. So right now, I bind the devil, tell him to get his hands off my money, and I loose the angels to go out and bring it in for me. He said that's how he believed for money all the time. How many times you done that? Someone, come on, I've done it. I absolutely believe God for it. That's how you learn to operate in faith. Why? I'm trusting what the Word says. Ministering angels. Well, what's ministering angels do? They minister. Who are they ministering to? You, the heirs of salvation. I know we have a hard time with this because, see, we've not been taught these things because of religion. People have tried to, they've had a false humility, and Christians have a false humility a lot of times, and they get real religious, but they're not spiritual. Did you hear me? Big difference between being religious and spiritual. There's a lot of cults out there that are very, very religious, a whole lot more religious than a lot of Christians, but it don't make them spiritual. To be spiritual means I'm going to believe God and operate in faith. And so when my delay comes, and it will come. Did you hear me? Delays come. But here's the thing. I'm not giving up just because the delay comes. I'm going to receive my manifestation. Let me give you one more scripture here. Okay. It's familiar, but go look at it. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 35. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence. What's that again? Your faith, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, see right there's the key, you have patience, if you know you've prayed according to the Word, done according to the Word, now, he says, you've got to have patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise, look, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and shall not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Believe till we get a manifestation of our and an answer to our prayer. We are those. You see, church, you got to understand that just because your answer has been delayed, it does not mean that it's been denied. It's just a matter of you using your faith, believing God, standing strong, and not backing down till you see the manifestation. And in the meantime, water it with praise, thanking God for your answer, thanking God for your manifestation, and binding the devil to get his hands away from it. It don't belong to him. It's coming to you. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that delaying is not denial.